Get a head start on 2025 with CNBC's Big January, the hottest tech event, CES, from Las Vegas. The data, the numbers, the jobs report, and meet the future of biotech and pharma at JPM Healthcare. Check out the Amex Golf Tournament from California, Inauguration Day, and the meeting of world leaders in Davos. Plus, the first Fed decision of the year. Get ahead of the game. Listen to CNBC on the Odyssey app.
Here's John Daniels' intro.
Baseball time, turn on the fan. JD's coming on, he's a baseball man. I gotta get the scoop before I drive home. From the kid from Queens, call it Arlington home. Car pulls up, who can it be? A fresh El Camino, it's Thad Levine. He rolls down his window and he started to say, it's all about making that kick-ass trade. Cause the boys in the front office are always hard. Come talking that trash in the pull your car. Knowing nothing in life but to be legit. Don't quote me, skin, I ain't said spit.
The John Daniels Show is brought to you by Evan Williams Bourbon and BMW, the ultimate driving machine.
All right, joining us now on the Ben and Skin Show, John Daniels. JD, how are you doing today?
I'm all right, guys. How are you?
Hey, doing great. Thanks for jumping on with us. We appreciate it. Obviously, not a great weekend for you guys. Had a rough series against the Astros, and you know, whether it was starting pitching, whether it was the offense, whatever it was. Just a rough four game stretch. You guys are in a little bit of a tailspin here, but hey, those things happen in the middle of a season. Is there anything at all, any silver lining in what you saw this weekend in this Houston series?
Well, I thought the first two games, you know, kind of toe to toe with them. Up until Saturday, Sunday, we basically it had been pretty evenly fought all series. You know, 4-2 against them here, and then the first two games played really well. Reddick didn't pull back the Pence home run. You know, we might have won behind Lynn on Friday night. Obviously, Reddick made a hell of a catch, and we lose. And then the last two days, you know, you really saw like the depth of their pitching staff. Like, you know, against the lack of depth with us, I thought that was really the story. And you know, a couple of defensive miscues made it look a lot uglier.
You know, John, what everybody's – not everybody, but a lot of people are talking about, okay, what about Odor? And he did sit. And in the past, there's been times where Odor is struggling and he's been sent down to correct things, and he's responded well to that. But, you know, it's you can look at this and go, okay, these are patterns here. What does Ruggie have to do to get to a point where you guys might consider sending him down, or is it occasional rest and lets this thing's got to play itself out?
That's a great question, Skin. I think with Ruggie, there's some other guys in that category too. You could argue, with Ruggie, he's had these stretches before. I really don't want it to be where, we have to send him down to figure it out. I have a lot of confidence in the staff up here, and ultimately have confidence in Ruggie as well. And his process had been really good, I thought, in spring training as far as not chasing, kind of like understanding his strengths and shrinking the zone. It had been better the first 2 weeks, even though the results weren't, but the process was. And then he has the knee injury, and really since he's come back, he's really struggled just to make contact on any sort of kind of above average fastball. And so they're beating him right now. He's clearly got to make an adjustment. It's definitely something we're talking about, and optioning a guy is always a consideration, but we'd prefer to be able to figure it out up here at this point.
All right, so let's take it to youth baseball, because man, I don't know if you know this, JD, I'm one of the greatest youth baseball coaches of all time. Were you aware of that?
See that?
Okay, you know that.
Been discussed a lot.
Well, what before I got run out of the game, not involved anymore. Caveat I want to throw in there. What we would say to a guy who's not catching up with the fastball is, kid, you got to put a lighter bat in your hand. And there's all these rumors going around about these bats that Ruggie uses, that it's a telephone pole or whatever. Is it just way too simple for a guy like me to sit here on my couch and say, well, man, maybe get a lighter bat? Is that silly?
Not necessarily silly. We talk about those things as well. The thing with Ruggie is not just like lighter bat, but the length of the bat. And he actually, if you look, he actually holds the knob kind of up, into the palm on his right hand. So whereas a lot of guys, the knob typically is kind of below your bottom hand, his sits in the middle of his palm on his right hand. So it actually makes it look even longer because it's not, you know what I'm saying, he's not holding it down at the bottom of the handle. He's actually holding it below that. So, but it's also the same bat that he's had success with in the past. You know, it's how you just went to a heavier or a longer one, or he started gripping it that way. So, listen, there's obviously got to be an adjustment made. All these things are being discussed by our coaches and in our front office.
John, what was it was in a loss. There was a bunch of runs that were put up before he came in. But with what you saw from Leclerc yesterday, does that have you feeling a little bit better in that regard?
I do because of how he did it. You know, he came in. He's a super competitive guy. I don't think he was real happy that we were, getting beat the way we were getting beat. But he looked a lot more under control with his delivery. There were some things that we'd seen where, especially on his fastball, he's kind of flying open and had those big kind of arm side misses, and he was really spotting up his fastball a lot better. And when he does that at 96, 97, everything plays off it, and he saw a miss, a lot more swing and miss yesterday. So that was really encouraging.
Man, I read an article over at Lone Star Ball by Adam Morris, and it was about Nomar Mazara. And it's actually looking at a lot of the Sabre metrics to where it's like, wait a second, people are down on Mazara a little bit, but, and maybe the batting average isn't where he would want it to be. But if you start looking at some of the Sabre metrics, you're like, wow, okay, he's hitting the ball harder. He's hitting more line drives. He's getting the ball in the air more than he has in the past. And they're definitely, he's not striking out as much. There's a lot to be encouraged about. So where are you with regard to what you're seeing from Nomar right now?
I'd say kind of in between, in between the kind of doom and gloom. And then I saw Adam's article as well. Mads is a guy that has all the potential in the world. He's been a good player, but to this point in his career, came up at 20, 21 years old. I think we all feel like, I mean, the industry feels like there's another level for him to get to. And, we haven't quite gotten him there yet. Again, he's been a good player. He's been a quality big league player, but he hasn't been the kind of dominant middle of the order force that I think that you're hoping for. And everybody's kind of graded on a curve, right? We all have expectations, whether athletes or whatever walk of life. And I think that's what you're looking at with Maz, is you're like, this is a guy whose value is primarily in his bat, who has been a good hitter, but we think can be a great one. I think until we can kind of push him along in that direction, there's going to be those questions.
John, before we let you go, we got to get to this very important topic. KT has been working the meat judging beat and had a really great story about what's going on at Texas Tech. They're always the national champion. But we like to get out on the grill from time to time. I know baseball executives have meetings at steakhouses. You probably had meals at incredible steakhouses. But if something is going down at the Daniels household and an important guest is coming over, do you have the skills necessary to get out on the grill and work an incredible steak and then bring it in and deliver the goods?
Only if, like, my wife is standing there telling me what to do.
Oh, man.
Maybe stepping in and taking control.
Just a little of it. Well, you're a busy guy.
No. Yeah, but I don't think that's really an excuse. I think it's more just a matter of incompetence around the grill.
What is your go-to steak? Do you have a preferred cut?
If I'm out, I would typically order a filet. But I'm not like a, I know it's kind of like a Texas thing. You got to have your like signature steak. I'm pretty basic. I like a filet.
Okay.
How about you?
Well, I'm a ribeye guy. To me, I think the more unhealthy it is, the more it aligns with my lifestyle.
I would have bet money you were going to use the term marbling right there.
I almost did. That's how doctors describe my fitness. Hey, thank you so much, JD. Appreciate your time.
All right, guys, take care.
There he goes, John Davis. Yeah, Ben, you got a little too much marbling happening in the belly area here. We need to be a fine steak. But not for a human. Okay, thank you to JD for jumping on with us. We appreciate that.